The Johnson family were recent arrivals in their San Francisco community. A middle-class, middle-income real estate development high in the hills north of the city. On the afternoon of December 18th, 1959, young Mrs. Johnson was expecting guests. Three women of the neighborhood were coming by for coffee and cake and perhaps a game of cards. The hostess was tense. It would be the first time she had entertained in her new home. Now, while she was listening for the doorbell, she made a final tour, pausing to dispose of a speck of lint or alter an arrangement of Christmas poinsettias. The house, like the others on the slanting hillside street, was a conventional suburban ranch house, pleasant and commonplace. Mrs. Johnson loved it. She was in love with the red wood paneling, the wall-to-wall carpeting, the picture windows fore and aft, the view that the rear window provided. Hills, a valley, then sky and ocean. And she was proud of the small back garden. Her husband, by profession an insurance salesman, by inclination a carpenter, had built around it a white picket fence and inside it a house for the family dog and a sandbox and swings for the children. At the moment, all four, dog, two little boys, and a girl, were playing there under a mild sky. She hoped they would be happy in the garden until the guests had gone. When the doorbell sounded and Mrs. Johnson went to the door, she was wearing what she considered her most becoming dress, a yellow knit that hugged her figure and heightened the pale tea shine of her Cherokee coloring and the blackness of her feather-bobbed hair. She opened the door, prepared to admit three neighbors. Instead, she discovered two strangers. Men who tipped their hats and flipped open badge-studded billfolds. "Mrs. Johnson," one of them said, "my name is Nye. This is Inspector Guthrie. We're attached to the San Francisco police, and we've just received an inquiry from Kansas concerning your brother, Perry Edward Smith. It seems he hasn't been reporting to his parole officer, and we wondered if you could tell us anything of his present whereabouts." Mrs. Johnson was not distressed, and definitely not surprised to learn that the police were once more interested in her brother's activities. What did upset her was the prospect of having guests arrive to find her being questioned by detectives. She said, "No, nothing. I haven't seen Perry in 4 years." "This is a serious matter, Mrs. Johnson," Nye said. "We'd like to talk it over." Having surrendered, having asked them in and offered them coffee, which was accepted, Mrs. Johnson said, "I haven't seen Perry in 4 years, or heard from him since he was paroled. Last summer, when he came out of prison, he visited my father in Reno. In a letter, my father told me he was returning to Alaska and taking Perry with him. Then he wrote again, I think in September, and he was very angry. He and Perry had quarreled and separated before they reached the border. Perry turned back. My father went on to Alaska alone."
"And he hasn't written you since?"
"No."
"Then it's possible your brother may have joined him recently, within the last month."
"I don't know. I don't care."
"On bad terms?"
"With Perry? Yes. I'm afraid of him."
"But while he was in Lansing, you wrote him frequently."
"Or so the Kansas authorities tell us," Nye said. The second man, Inspector Guthrie, seemed content to occupy the sidelines.
"I wanted to help him. I hoped I might change a few of his ideas. Now I know better. The rights of other people mean nothing to Perry. He has no respect for anyone."
"About friends, do you know of any with whom he might be staying?"
"Joe James," she said, and explained that James was a young Indian logger and fisherman who lived in the forest near Bellingham, Washington. No, she was not personally acquainted with him, but she understood that he and his family were generous people who had often been kind to Perry in the past.